Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Okay, we're back with Edmundo Rodriguez, and he was describing the experience of going from the general manager, but an employee, to the owner, taking on the administrative and dealing with the banks. And what other surprises you're about to tell us? What other surprises or things that you didn't expect, either good or bad, came as you went to the owner role?
Well, one of the experiences you're never prepared for is that of employees. I mean, you're a colleague of them, and then suddenly you're the owner. So many things change from their point of view, especially when you're trying to fix their working conditions and do things organized, etc. As a owner, you're the new owner, but they've been employee for many years, some of them 10, 15, 20. So dealing with them on one side of the equation is a challenge. You have to deal with them professionally, but also in their personal level. And secondly, is not always everybody is in the same page or are willing to cooperate or move forward to where you want to take the company. So challenges occur, and that's something that you're never prepared. Another thing is some employees that had problems with the previous owner, wait till the previous owner is no longer around, and then they sue you. And they sue you for things that happened when you were not an owner. But sometimes the way you can only buy a business when you are an employee for so many years is under the terms and conditions of the seller. And usually those terms, you have to be very watchful, because most of the time, of course, they are helping you to buy something that otherwise you wouldn't buy or couldn't buy. But that means that the terms will always be favorable to the seller, not to the buyer.
Yeah,
and that's something you can tell your audience, as a fact.
No, as people come to buy companies, stateside companies or international can come to buy companies, the first thing when they ask, what is different, what should I be looking at? And with inevitably, the first statement is our labor laws are very strict. They're really quite different. That's where you're going to have distinctions. And we recommend the due diligence, and we recommend ideally, which you're not able to do in this case in negotiations, ideally you have a complete cutoff, pay severance, get releases from the seller, and you as the owner start anew, come with a completely clean slate. But that's, part of the negotiation process, as part of the compensation for the business, and, as part of the challenges. But, okay, so you ended up actually, sounds like you ended up with a lawsuit, and was a real another one of those things where you lose sleep. You feel people have not been faithful, and that was a challenge. But you were able to resolve the lawsuits eventually. And what other? Edmundo's looking
forward.
At me like
move forward.
Move forward. It was not a good experience. What was the other experience as the new owner that
simultaneously one of our key employees of many years, 6 months after I purchased the business, indicated he was going to pursue some other kind of life or business, and that gave us some red flags. We tried to obtain a non-compete agreement in exchange for some negotiations that we couldn't. And at some point in time, he left the company, but it was obvious that he made some inside negotiations with some of the accounts he would handle. So regardless of the fact that when you purchase a business, you're part of the formula is that you're purchasing X amount of sales, right?
Right, customers, yeah.
Customers, well, then suddenly you lose a big chunk of that business. Nobody pays you that, but you continue to pay the rest of the term of the agreement to the previous owner. So that was another surprise.
Yeah. The learning experience there, I mean, it's in terms of most businesses, is to get a non-compete clause. You have to get, it's very technical.
Yes.
It has to be obtained at certain moments as part of benefits that you're giving, or especially the ideal is when they're coming in as new employees. and it's very strict, 1 year, etc. So has to be discussed and get it with a lawyer, because here in Puerto Rico, it's not going to be adjusted by the court. It's either valid or invalid. It's called what they call blue line. They're not going to blue line and fix it. So that was a learning experience to get. And sometimes, of course, that was only one. Sometimes you can have a whole three or four and completely devastate the company. So non-compete agreements are something that every business person should take or have.
Last but not least, it's what happens. You purchase a business and you never will take into consideration that 936 phase out will happen, that due to economic recession, companies are closing or moving out, that the emerging markets continue to improve on their competitiveness and professionalism and technology, and suddenly you start losing chunks of business, but you cannot adapt the business as fast as you're losing the volumes. And that's a reality I believe most people lived in Puerto Rico during the past 5, 6, 7 years. Mm-hmm. And so therefore you had to reorganize your business.
And now as an owner, not just as an employee.
to avoid legal disputes, because you're already running one, and then you want to avoid legal disputes concerning rent agreements, people you're renting to, and things like that.
As you downsize, you have all these commitments, a contractual that you have to terminate and negotiate and we all know, if you have lived in Puerto Rico, 936, I think it's gone from 154,000 employees to about 78,000. Just tons of companies have had to close or closed, and then at the same time the economy goes to pot, and you got hit with both. Maybe a couple of years after you purchased,
a couple of years started.
It wasn't really from the learning. It's just now handling it as an owner. So I remember we talked a number of things, and you were losing a lot of sleep as you were hit with these two things, and then the lawsuit, and the combination was devastating. What did you do? What did you do to pull out of the downward spiral of the difficulties you were facing? What did you do, and how are you standing? How are you standing now?
Well, we did what we have done, or helped to be done to many of our customers. We consolidated facilities or offices that were within less than 10 miles away, like airport and San Juan. We are now in San Juan for both operations.
Incidentally, I just came to your new offices, and congratulations. It's of course you had this beautiful building with an image building. Now you're leasing, on the eighth floor, but it's a nice facility,
yeah,
nice
but
parking.
We're in front of the piers. We can tell our customers whether the boat is unloading
or
not.
The view is nice. Yeah, right across you can see the port.
Even send them a photo to show them.
it's called the Ila Building.
Ila Building.
Ila
yes.
Building, eighth floor.
Eighth floor.
Beautiful view of the bay and of
the bay, customs, and
out of lemon, you make lemonade.
Definitely.
So at the end.
And we have free parking for our customers.
The parking is beautiful, fantastic.
We're very well located. We handle most of the ports from here. We still have another office in Aguadilla, because most of the activities of our customers there, we handle the Aguadilla Airport and the Mayagüez Port. So eventually, from five offices, we came down to two.
Okay.
All of the warehousing, we concentrate in my sister company, which is IMEX. Sun Logistics, which is a public warehousing within 4 and 3 Zone 61. So we put the warehousing operation in the warehouse expert. We dedicated ourselves to our core business, and we look into competitiveness for our customers through the 4 and 3 Zone program in order for many to increase the volume of exports that they were not doing, because they were so at ease in selling to the United States and Puerto Rico that many were forgetting that ever since the Spanish times, Puerto Rico was known for our location and our opportunity to sell in the Caribbean.
The other thing I remember, and was, and a lot of people out there, a lot of these listeners who are going through the same thing, is the pressure by the banking on the lines. And so I remember, you know, talking with you. How has that come out? I mean, I know you lost sleep about that too. How has that come out, and how are you standing now?
Well, I was lucky. I was able to sell a building in such difficult times. But of course, the sale was $1.5 million below valuation of a few years back. So yes. Imagine of a really well-respected firm in the island. But I was able to liquidate the bank completely. Surprise for us, I liquidated on a Friday.
The bank loan, not the bank.
Yeah, I know. I liquidated all of my debts with the bank. However,
I know I got to a point that you kind of felt like you're boxing with them. But
yeah. But you know what? As I told them since the beginning, I will sell and I will pay you. And I actually did that. What I didn't anticipate, we pay on a Friday at 4:57 p.m. so we wouldn't be charged the interest for the weekend. And on Monday, you know what? When we asked for, we were going to use the line so we could have money to move the facilities to this new location. There was no facilities. I mean, all of my credit with the one was canceled after I paid them.
Wow.
I'm being a customer for over 30 years. So something that people has to be aware of. The bank will be there until you pay them. Be careful, because afterwards you're not that valuable anymore.
Yeah. You paid off. You paid little by little the loan and.
No, I paid completely the loan on one shot.
Okay. Yep. But somebody refinance you?
No. Then I had to use my personal resources and even my credit cards for the same bank, because I told them it doesn't make sense. In my credit cards, I have more money than what I am asking you. Uh-huh. You say, well, use your credit cards. You know what? I took the advice. Uh-huh. I went down to the lobby. I used my credit cards, and with that, we were able to start till I was able to get a loan with Banco de Desarrollo,
a line of credit
that afterwards we converted into a loan, and after we pay that, we are now self-financed.
Yes. So you're debt-free. It's like Dave Ramsey, the program.
I'm
debt-free!
almost.
Edmundo, we have a break and we run out of time. I want to thank you for sharing your experience in terms of, you know, my personal relationship with you over many years. You're one of the people I most respect, not only for what you achieve as a person, but as a professional. And I'm so happy that you were able to turn things around. I participated in the turmoil that you went through, and I'm so happy for you, and I wish you the best of luck. And again, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, George, and best of luck to you and your audience in these terrible and difficult times.